Welcome to the Tradator Podcast, where budgets are balanced, debt gets destroyed, and alligator expenses get fed before they bite. I am your host, Nate Tanner. The Tradator Podcast is sponsored by Tradator. Go to Tradator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Tradator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tradator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. All right, so today we're going to talk a little bit about emergency funds. Now, yesterday we talked about alligator expenses and how these things can jump up and bite you and ruin your budget. Well, an alligator is different than an emergency. An alligator is something that you can know is going to happen. We've talked about some things like holidays, birthdays. You know, each year your kids are going to have new school clothes, or they're going to grow out of their clothes, or anything along those lines that you can plan for. Emergencies are a bit different because they're things that you can't necessarily plan for, but you need to be prepared for them because emergencies are going to happen. And I want to tell you a little story that goes back several years. So several years ago, I was working at a reasonably good job, and they decided that they wanted to downsize everything. And I ended up getting laid off, and it was 10 days before Christmas. So Merry Christmas, here's your pink slip. I remember going home to my wife and telling her I just got laid off, and she was working part-time, only making a small salary from that part-time work, and we were trying to figure out what are we going to do, because we suddenly had this emergency where I've lost my job. I don't have regular income coming in anymore. And we ended up having to return all of our Christmas presents so that we had money that we could use for food and other expenses that we had. We ended up just trying to scrape along as best that we could for the time. And when it rains, it pours, because not long after that, my wife lost her job. And so we were both unemployed. I, at the time, was flipping burgers, trying to make ends meet as best that I could with some income. I eventually changed over and was doing pizza. I was managing a pizza place, trying to do anything that I could to find a better job while we were going through this difficult time. And then while I was working at the pizza place, I suddenly had a medical issue that came up. And this medical issue put me in the emergency room. And I was not yet eligible for any insurance. So I had to pay for medical bills. I had to provide for my family. And I had to do all of these different things and was out of work, essentially. So I can understand emergencies, and I can understand when things get really, really hard. The happy end of the story is that I was able to eventually find a better job and find the employment that I needed, and we were able to dig ourselves out of that financial struggle. But it took a lot of hard work, it took a lot of looking, and it was not a fun process to go through. So emergencies, they're going to happen. They're not things you can ever plan for, but you can be prepared for them. You know, someone's going to lose their job. It could be something big, it could be something small. Mine was big, where we had medical issues on top of job loss, on top of another job loss, on top of every other thing that was coming along. And so it was a pretty big emergency. Sometimes it can be a small emergency where maybe just a necessary appliance goes out, like, and you need to get it repaired, like your washer or dryer or your refrigerator, and you have to pay a repair bill to get it fixed. But regardless of whether it's a big emergency or a small emergency, these are things that we need to prepare for, and we need to be ready so that we can take care of them. I want to give you a few tips on how you can start building that emergency fund. First of all, it does need to be a high priority item. When we talked about building your financial house, we first talked about doing some giving and making sure that you're able to give a little bit to charity and all of those things. The next level in the financial house was to protect your family. This step of building an emergency fund is part of that level of your financial house. It should be one of the top priorities of your financial house. And you shouldn't get into any sort of a debt acceleration strategy until you have at least some of an emergency fund in place. So don't do an accelerated debt payoff strategy until you have an emergency fund in place. Okay? The next tip is to set a deadline. You need to be able to set a goal with a date around it. You need to be able to say, within this amount of time, I want to have an emergency fund. And when you initially do this, it should be short, because this is the third tip. You want to start small and then grow. So you want to take a small amount, maybe $1,000 to $2,000, depending on your spending and kind of your situation, but at least $1,000. And the deadline you set should be pretty quick. You should be able to say within 3 months, within 2 months, I want to save this amount of money. And you'll want to set together a strategy so that you can achieve that goal. Here's the next tip that I'm going to give you for setting up that emergency fund is you want to pay yourself first. After you've done that first level of your financial house, which is some giving, your very next item should be building that emergency fund. Okay? And ideally, you should be saving about 10% of your paycheck for yourself. But I know that in today's world, that can be difficult, especially with all the expenses and where you're supposed to be putting everything else. But what you want to do is look and say, okay, if I want to have $1,000 within three months, then you need to know, okay, I need to set aside $84 a week. And if you set aside $84 a week for 3 months, you're going to end up with $1,008. And that's how you're going to be able to fund your initial emergency fund to get you up to that $1,000. Or if it's $2,000, then of course you double that amount and you'll be able to get there. Now, there is some ways that you can expedite your savings and get there faster. Okay, a lot of us have things in our house or in our apartments or such that we maybe don't use anymore. And there are a lot of opportunities online to be able to sell some of those things. For example, here where I live, we have a free classified service that everybody uses. And you can post something on this free classified service and within literally 20 minutes have someone knocking at your door to buy it. And it's really, really neat and a great way to be able to sell some things, whether it be, you know, if you have some artwork you can sell, maybe some electronics you don't use anymore. There's clothing, furniture, video games. If your kids are a little bit older and you still have some baby items around, then those are all things that you can sell and be able to come up with some money to kind of accelerate. One of my favorite ways to accelerate your savings for that emergency fund is by earning some extra cash. And this is something that I've done regularly, and I haven't done it just for the purpose of building an emergency fund. I've also used it to help with my debt acceleration plan. You can do things like you can drive for a rideshare service. That's a really great way to earn some extra money, and it's pretty easy to do. You just go out, log into the app, and then you pick up people and drop them off. My favorite was to do the late night weekend runs because I got great stories from people coming from fun places. Another is doing any sort of food or pizza delivery. I've done that as well, where you get a part-time job. You can do it either freelance through different services like DoorDash or Uber Eats or Grubhub, or you can go work directly for one of the big pizza chains or other delivery service and do that part-time on the weekends to get a little extra money. One of the things my wife did was she would actually babysit for families in the neighborhood. There was one family in particular that every day she would kind of provide that babysitting for them while they were at work. There are a lot of different ways, especially with the internet and with gig jobs that are available and freelance jobs, to be able to make a little bit of extra cash to help you build to that emergency fund. Another way is to reduce your expenses and then take that money and use it to apply to your emergency fund. One of the things that we did was we cut off our cable TV for about 4 years. And we used that cable TV money to not only, again, build that emergency fund, but we realized, you know, we don't really need cable. So we used that money for our debt elimination as well. And it's interesting that you'll find when you start reducing your expenses a little bit, there's areas that you'll find that you don't really need to spend money anymore. And that it was just kind of a nice thing to have, but it's not a necessity of life. So to sum up, we want to build that emergency fund as quickly as possible because you never know when an emergency will hit. But I can tell you that they will hit. And when they do, if you have that emergency fund, then you're going to be able to weather that storm. Now, we've talked a little bit about that initial emergency fund of $1,000 to $2,000. Once you have achieved your goal for that amount, you're going to move into continue with protecting your family, with setting your budget to pay for the necessities of life and to make sure that you're taking care of them. And then you're going to be looking at your goal of debt elimination. Once you have that debt elimination step taken care of, you're working into savings and investment level of your house. And it's in that saving and investment level of your financial house that you want to increase that emergency fund. And ideally, you want to have 6 months of your income into an emergency fund. And this is money that you, it's not an investment. It's not something that you are trying to use to build wealth. It is your emergency fund. It is something where you stash it away, that you're not going to be able to spend it very readily, but you want it to sit and wait so that when that emergency shows up, you're able to pay for it. Sometimes you do have to use that emergency fund. And once you do, you want to make sure that you replenish it. Make sure that if you have an emergency that comes up, like your refrigerator breaks and you have to go and purchase a new one or get a repair, as soon as you paid that from your emergency fund, you want to make sure that you work hard and put it as a top priority to replenish it. Okay, let's go ahead and move on and answer some questions that have come in. So here's our first question. This is from Dave. He says, I know that you're not a fan of credit cards. Just curious what you do for online purchases. I don't feel comfortable using a debit card online. One of the neat things that people don't realize about debit cards is that if you're not entering in your PIN number, because if you're entering it in as your PIN number, then you're using it as a ATM card essentially, and there's no extra protection. But if you are not entering in your PIN, then you get the protection from Visa or MasterCard for fraudulent charges and unauthorized things. So if you're using it without entering a PIN, you are going to have that protection that's provided by Visa and by MasterCard for those purchases. So you can feel a little bit more comfortable using that online because you do have some level of protection that's provided by the card issuer. So don't be afraid of using it online as long as you follow the appropriate security precautions. Make sure your sites that you're going to are encrypted. Make sure that you're not doing it over public Wi-Fi. And if you are on public Wi-Fi, have a VPN on. There's plenty of VPN providers out there that are really quite good to help you keep your data safe. So just do it safely, be smart about it, and you should be fine, and you'll have some of those protections already built in. All right, our next question comes from Sally. Sally says that she is trying to save up for a new car and a down payment on a house. Should she keep them in one account or should she do multiple savings accounts? What I would recommend is keeping those in a single account. You can separate them out, but that can get messy as far as your banking goes. But if you keep them into a single account, one of the things you can do with our sponsor Tregator is set up what they call buckets to help you keep your savings separate. So you set it into a single account and they'll allow you to set up savings buckets and keep track of how much of that savings amount is within each of those items. So you don't really need a secondary account for a second savings item. It is up to you if you want to use that, but it's not necessary if you have the right tools. And our last question for today comes from Miles. He says, I just paid off one of my credit cards and I just realized that I'm being billed monthly an amount of $8.25, so $99 a year. Do I close the card or keep it open? Close it. That's the simple, quick answer. What you're being charged is basically an annual fee that they've split into monthly payments. And you don't want annual fees. You're not going to be using the card. You're not going to go back into debt. Close it, get rid of it, cut it up, and you'll be done with it. So that one was an easy question. The easy questions are my favorite type, so keep those ones coming for sure. If you do have a question for us, we'd love to hear from you. You can submit your questions to podcast@tregator.com. You can also submit them through our Facebook site, which is facebook.com/Tregator. We would love to hear from you. We want to be able to answer as many questions as we can. So please do reach out to us. I want to thank you for listening to this episode of the Tregator podcast. As always, this podcast is sponsored by Tregator. Go to Tregator.com and sign up for your free trial of the Tregator app to budget by paycheck, build your savings, and knock out debt. With Tregator, you can enjoy life more and worry about money less. Please remember to join us again tomorrow as we continue talking about your financial house. Make sure that you do subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. We are grateful to have you as part of our audience and listening each day. Please join us again tomorrow for our next episode of the Tregator podcast. Thank you, and as always, have a good one.